What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I'm just so delighted that there was a song again in this episode.
I know, it was so great.
And we didn't have to, like, grasp at straws come up with a song.
I missed Star-Lord's playlist.
I want to
see the whole playlist.
I know, exactly. And, I mean, they were so good in the first couple episodes of this series, like, continuing that tradition of having that great 70s music. But alas, it was sadly missing, but it has returned triumphantly. As have we. Welcome back, Guardians of the Galaxy fans, to AfterBuzz TV's Guardians of the Galaxy episode 8. No. Yes, episode
yes,
8. Season 1, episode 8. That's what we're talking about. That's right. Hitchin' a Ride. That is what the name of the episode was. If you guys have not done so already, please be sure to go over to iTunes, subscribe to us over there, leave us ratings, leave reviews. We like to hear from you guys. Conversely, if you guys are listening on iTunes, remember you can always head over to YouTube as well. Subscribe there, leave us thumbs up, and if you go over to YouTube on the night we actually tape, you can join us in the live chat, which we are following along with. We are also following that hashtag on Twitter, ABTVGOTG. It's one of those nice alphabet soup hashtags for you.
Yeah, so you can follow along with those. I always love those when they get really long and you're just like, I have to now decipher this.
It's true. Well, and then the problem is if you have like too many, well, first of all, the alphabet soup thing you do when you have really long titles, but if you end up just doing ABTV really, really, really long title, then there's no way to tag like the hosts, so it gets a little complicated. Speaking of, hello, I'm your host, Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife. As you guys probably noticed, last week, Katie, the lovely at Kia J on all social medias, was not present. She is not going to be joining us from now on. We love her. We wish her well. She was simply doing too many shows and just needed one day a week to herself, so we can totally respect that. But we have a new panelist with us permanently, as far as we know.
Yes, permanently. That's the plan.
And his name is Taylor. Please tell me if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. Helmbolt.
It's Taylor Bolt.
Just Taylor Bolt.
Yeah, Taylor Bolt.
Oh.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be joining you.
Absolutely.
Here.
Thanks for hopping in there.
Yeah,
and
of course,
in the booth tonight, but also hopping in with her lovely commentary, we have the wonderful Alexis Torres.
Hey.
Hello.
What up, guys? I know I'm looking real fancy with this weird curtain.
So fancy.
No, it's so nice.
Exactly. I missed you guys, but I'm here because I want to talk about this really ridiculous emotional roller coaster episode.
Yeah, seriously.
This was a wild episode.
My gosh.
Yeah, it really was. So let's just dive right into it then. What were your thoughts on the episode?
Here's what it reminded me of, first of all.
Yep.
It was a bit of like Spider-Man-esque,
with the
Venom symbiote thing.
Yeah,
but
no,
also
totally.
I love like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, and I got a big taste of that from this episode, so I was really into it. Plus some 70s music thrown in, tight storyline, had some other characters come back. That was a really good one.
Yeah, it's so true. Alexis, what did you think?
No, seriously, I think it was very Aliens kind of.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that it went from being like, it was very funny, there was a lot of action, I love that the music was back, obviously when we get to Groot, there was a part where we all kind of went, it was really, really good.
We had an emotional moment at the table.
Yeah,
we totally did. It was rough. I was just like, oh my God.
What just happened?
Yeah, it was really rough. Yeah, I mean, specifically that was the moment in the episode where, so Groot had been possessed by the symbiote, and so he was in a fight with Rocket, and Rocket ended up
The single raccoon eye.
But he ended up rescuing Groot from the symbiote. You know, he shot him with the blaster like he had previously done to Drax, and it had all worked out okay. And you know, we see Groot and he's okay, and Rocket's like, hey, I knew you could withstand it. And he's like, I am Groot, and it's really happy. And then he just disintegrated.
He just turns to ash.
It was terrible.
In Rocket's arms.
I know, but fortunately, he still had an arm that was living inside of the pocket dimension. I mean, it's a storage dimension.
Okay, that was cool. Yeah, it was. So I didn't know what to think about what that was exactly, because everything just kind of vanishes, and then it kind of just plops out whenever you need it.
There's some space in there. And if I'm remembering correctly, they actually obtained that storage dimension when Rocket was having his little side quest where he was working for the Collector.
Yeah, they got it from the Collector.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we found a good use for it in this episode.
I'm wondering if the Collector had anything else in there that maybe we discovered.
I know, right? That's in the storage dimension.
I don't know if we'll
be
venturing back to the storage dimension, but I think it could be cool.
Symbiotes broke free, so they could technically go back in there
and
not be in danger of being bonded with and turning into weird, evil venom-like creatures.
Is it weird that I thought this was going to be a to-be-continued kind of episode, where it was kind of like, it looked like, because I know it's only a half an hour,
right,
but it felt like they were going to stop at, like, you know, Rocket not being able to get out, and that, you know, with Quill being captured, I was like, man, we only have, like, a few, like, minutes left. Like, how's this going to work? And then they kind of just tied it up with a nice little bow. But is it weird that I kind of wanted it to, like, be a to-be-continued and be a two-parter? Is that too much?
Here's the thing. I agree that it felt jam-packed. Like, I don't want to say crammed quite, because I also thought that it played out nicely.
Right.
But, yeah, originally I was like, this is going to be sort of like maybe a Tomb Raider-esque sort of thing, they're going into this mine, and then it became Temple of Doom, and then we go back, and we have to deal with Yondu, and then it's all of a sudden alien-esque,
because
we're on this
movie,
ship.
And I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, the red light, like the darkness with the red light, and the little ship alarm in the background that's just so haunting and so frightening. But I wouldn't have minded if it was a two-parter.
Yeah, I agree with you on the it definitely could have been a two-parter. I think they resolved it well. The ending didn't feel super rushed to me as some of the episodes in this series have felt. For example, the first three episodes, it was like, can we just stop for a set? Like, I need to rewind because this is too much information to process, which I didn't feel about this episode. I felt that the pacing overall was really pretty good.
Right,
Especially in comparison to some episodes of this series that we've seen in the past. What I will say though is that I don't know if you guys feel the same way as me. I know Alexis and I last week talked quite a bit about how we felt that this series was finally starting to kind of get its footing. Like, we really, really enjoyed the last episode, and I also really, really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of growing, which is so fun to see. It's hard because they're so, like, these characters are so, I don't want to say odd, but they are odd.
Yeah, definitely.
And they each have their own backstory, and you're trying to set so much up, and you're trying to give them each, like, a personality, and they fit that. I feel like maybe they could have spread that out just a little bit more that the first ones didn't feel as rushed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that's what it was, was it's like they were trying to throw in too much plot, and it would have been nicer if we just had some kind of fun character just living in this universe kind of moments.
Exactly.
Though I will say one thing about this episode that I particularly enjoyed was Rocket as a
Rocket
character. For the first time, he wasn't super involved in the last episode. He was super involved in this episode,
and it was
really nice to see him be not so annoying. Am I the only one that felt that way?
No. I'm on the same boat as you. I feel like it was just extremely nice to see, one, him, like, really freaking out about, you know, about Groot and everything. One, two, obviously being emotional about it. Three, kind of also not caring a little bit, where he was just like, that's not important right now. Like, we need to figure out how to get rid of them off the ship. I was just like, there's a lot of Rocket in this episode.
He was complex, I think, for one of the first times. Because, like, up until this point, we've seen him as, oh, that's the trigger-happy raccoon who's really good with...
Exactly. And so much of his character interaction with Quill has just been the two of them arguing with one another. And in this episode, we finally got to see them cooperate. And
right,
I was
thrilled.
Because
they're the only two that aren't incapacitated.
Exactly.
I think that they will continue to argue, probably.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mind them arguing with one another. It's just that up to this point, you know, it's just been Rocket being like, nah, Quill, everything you do is terrible. You're so dumb. I hate you.
Right.
And in this episode, certainly they were forced into the circumstance of having to cooperate with one another, but there was never a moment with Rocket where he was like, I don't want to work with you, Quill, even though you're my only option. Like, yeah. They just jumped right in and teamed up. It was great.
That was awesome. Yeah. Rocket's not always the most, I guess, positive, or
yeah,
he's sort of a negative guy,
right?
Which
right.
can have its perks, I guess,
because
he, like, you know, maintains the ship. But he was less disgruntled in this episode, and it became more about his like an emotional attachment to Groot,
yeah,
and his like needing
but
to
I
do
also,
what needs to be
sorry,
done.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I also think that it's really, really cool because I noticed in this episode that Drax was like friend Groot and friend Rocket and friend
so
Gamora.
Cute.
There was nicknames,
yeah.
This time,
yeah.
Even when Rocket was like, "Where's Gammy and Drax?" and I was like, "Gammy."
Yeah. Yeah, he started calling her Gammy in the last episode.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so I really like that we can slowly, I mean, because we were talking about it in the past episode,
yeah.
So there's no character development. There
yes.
technically character
But you know what? So this actually goes back to what we had said at the end of the last episode, which is basically that the previous episode ended with Quill saying, hey guys, but we're a team. If we're together, we can do anything. And we saw that carried over into this episode.
It really, I think that they did a great job sort of following through on that promise in the last episode.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
Even kind of like undermining it in a way too, in a good way, where like you have these symbiotes who come in and sort of commandeer the members of the team. And so it's about reestablishing themselves as a
Absolutely,
team.
Absolutely, because
was that too deep?
No, that you're not digging too deep. No, ultimately, I mean, a lot of this episode was about infighting, but it's because the team was being possessed by the symbiotes, and as you said, Taylor, in a very kind of Venom from Spider-Man kind of way, where it's like
I
they get turned bad.
Right. Like, you see these things, as soon as this black stuff started creeping in, and I saw, like, the tongue with the Venom-like mouth, like, I wrote down, like, Venom versus the Guardians. Like,
yeah, totally.
It was sort of that way right off the bat, but, I mean, there were some differences, of course. But.
Yeah. Boo in the chat agrees with us that Rocket was awesome in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Should stay that way.
I know. It was such a nice episode for Rocket. And I mean, it's something that we've kind of talked about a lot on the show, which is I think that because, you know, this is Disney XD and technically this is for, you know, an older kid, young teenager kind of demographic. I think they struggle with how do we keep some of the personality traits of these characters from this movie that was for adults.
Right.
And remain true to the characters while still making them kid friendly, because Rocket's such an interesting character because he's super kid friendly and at the same time super not kid friendly. Because, you know, he is a foul mouthed raccoon. And I think that the way that they've been translating it up to this point is just to make him super cranky.
Right.
Which, I mean, he's certainly ornery, don't get me wrong.
No, he's definitely ornery, but I wonder if that's his raccoon-ness coming through, his innate sort of raccoon.
Yeah,
attitude.
Exactly. But it was nice in this episode, you know, to see I really felt the connection between he and Groot in this episode, I will say.
Yeah, he's definitely the MVP to me in this episode.
This was a really good episode for Rocket. Do you agree, Alexis? Who was the MVP for you in this one?
Definitely Rocket.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like he really stepped up.
Yeah.
Again, we were just used to him being just this crass, nasty person, and I'm really glad that finally we got him to be kind of like practically tearing up and crying about his friend, you know?
Yeah.
He was in a rough position.
I'm still trying to get over the fact of just literally just seeing Groot go, poof, and I was like,
yeah, because I was immediately going like, oh, wait, there's got to be something. It was before they came up with the arm. I was like, there's something. There's got to be some way.
Yeah. Well,
like, I was expecting a twig in the ashes.
Nope.
Anything.
Nope.
Nothing this time.
No, when he poofed away, I have to admit, I did kind of remember immediately that he had lost the arm in the struggle, and it ended up pocket dimension.
I did not do that. I was like, he's dead.
He's gone.
He's gone. I don't know what to
Groot's
do. I am freaking out.
I will say, though, the hand at the end, that was a little creepy.
It was a little,
and the voice.
It was a little Vampire Hunter D. You know how when Vampire Hunter D, he's got like the, the hand?
Yes.
The demon in his hand? Have you ever seen Vampire Hunter D?
I picture the symbol, like the eye in the hand sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
except it's Groot's face.
I mean, that's kind of what it was.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
I liked the little baby voice, I am Groot, though.
The baby voice was cute.
But then he had an extra hand.
I know, yeah.
I felt really bad for him in this episode.
But it was really funny, too, when he got... Once again, it's like there was this nice blend in this episode of suspense and horror and action and also comedy. And, you know, in the minecart chase when Groot did get his arm cut off, I liked that later when we saw it coming back, he just had like a little T-Rex arm.
Right. That was really good.
It was
good,
just
actually.
Totally useless.
That was really funny. And I loved his cleaning arm, his like Swiffer duster arm. I next time I need a broom or something, I'm just going to go get a tree branch.
Exactly. Well, I mean, because
seriously, it's funny that you brought that up because literally there's a broom in Filipino culture where it's just like, it's just a broom handle, but then like the outside of it is literally just like sticks and straws. Like
that's awesome.
Hay. So you'll see them if you go to like certain Asian markets, they have them. It's literally just like if someone took a bunch of hay and then just like stuck it in there.
Yeah. I saw like a cinnamon tree one time that was just like, but I thought it was just to smell nice. It was small. I'm pretty sure it was just to be
like,
aromatic.
I'm pretty sure this is not actually for cleaning.
Like, I should not clean.
This is like a supplement to cleaning.
I feel like it would just make everything dirtier. It's just like flaking apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I want to talk a little more about this minecart chase.
Right.
Which I dubbed Escape from Gringotts. So basically, you know, so Quill, first of all, I loved Quill's explanation to Drax of what a movie was.
Right.
It's a lie.
Yeah. I wrote it down. It's a fake story that you pay money to watch on a screen.
Yeah, so it's a lie.
Yeah, so it's a lie.
That's true, right?
Yeah, but he saw this lie like six times in the theaters.
On opening night.
I don't understand why someone would pay money for this.
Yes. So here's my question. What movie did he see?
I thought it was Indiana Jones.
I thought so too.
I was like, it feels like it has to be Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom. But I don't know if that works out. Like,
I want to know what the fans
age-wise. Yeah. So I was going to say, if you guys are in the chat, or if you want to talk to us on Twitter, just tweet at us. Use that hashtag. If you're watching later, use the hashtag and tweet at us and let us know what movie you thought they were watching. Again, you can use the hashtag ABTVGOTG. And if you are in the live chat right now, I would love to hear what movie you thought it was, because we all thought it was Indiana Jones. I mean, that was certainly my first response. And you know, it's as we were saying at the top of the episode, there was like a nice combination of kind of Indiana Jones and Alien, and
I feel like they drew from a lot of source material in this episode, which was nice.
It was cool though, because you know, we had this conversation about Quill being involved with Earth pop culture and watching movies, and ultimately it was kind of a clever episode that seemed to have a lot of references to other films and things of that nature.
And then some 70s music.
Yeah, that's some 70s music. Everything. I mean, it's not Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's some 70s music. I think that was another part of the reason why I liked this episode so much, is because, number one, it was another really strong episode after last week, but the only thing it had going for it that last week didn't was some sweet, sweet tunes.
So this takes number one for you.
Even the editing itself during that whole portion of like them being like cutting from each guardian while the music's playing, like I thought that was just really good. And that's what I think we were missing for a little bit. Yeah. You know? Oh dear.
This is in reference to the movie comment when we were talking about, you know, Quill's explanation to Drax of what a film is, and DBZ King 02 says, you mean Lord of the Rings wasn't a historical documentary?
No, I don't know what you mean.
I know.
I think it was.
I was shocked. I was just as surprised as you, DBZ King 02. I thought that all films were factual.
We can't pound it, but I'm
Alexa just gave you a virtual pound. And Michael Rafferty says, finally, a use for Star-Lord's music, of course, in regards to the minecart scene that we were just talking about, which was so good.
Yes, and they even weaponized it. I mean, they made it, like, his music had a very pivotal role in just the plot, because they had to use it to defeat the symbiotes.
Yeah.
And Groot as an extension to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, didn't you mean the kumbayas?
Or the kumbayas.
Oh, the kumbayas, right. Sorry, the
That's
kumbayas.
That's another thing. Okay, this is another thing I want, because I didn't count, and I want to ask this of the people who are watching or who are listening and go back and watch it again. Please write down for me all of the different nicknames and how many different nicknames there were.
There was something before
the symbiotes.
Kumbaya,
yeah, there were, he used at least three or four.
Yeah, there was a
bunch. That was like great. Photosynthesis, kumbaya.
Yeah, exactly. That Quill used throughout the episode. I would love to know if somebody got a final count.
It's a tough word.
Symbiotes. Symbiotes. Yeah. So speaking of which, my autocorrect. So I was typing my notes and it kept wanting to correct symbiotes to symbiosis, and it always every time I write down the name Yondu wants to autocorrect it to fondue.
Really? Mine's Yolanda. I don't know. And then with Quill it changes it to Quinn. It's Groove. I'm fine with that.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's nice.
It does a really weird one for me for Gamora, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember what mine is either. At one point it was like Jamboree, and I'm like, I don't even use that
one. But that's the thing is that, Gamora, that's a common, it's a word that exists.
I guess.
And Quill is literally just a word.
Quill is a word.
So why would
I feel
it
like that shouldn't
Quinn. I don't know why it would be Quinn of all things.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So weird.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I like the Groot to Groove, though.
Groot to Groove.
Groot's got a little groove in his roots, I feel like.
Yep.
It makes sense.
That's just how that works, apparently, with my computer. I don't know.
Yep.
Like, we know what you meant.
Yeah.
So basically, the symbiotes are the worst. They only respond to heat and vibration. I really enjoyed when Drax was instructed that he could not touch them, and he says, I will not touch, I will stab.
That was great.
Yep, that
Thanks,
was good.
Drax.
Yep, great.
That was Do very that. Drax.
And he was the first one to get venomized, if you will,
right,
by the symbiotes.
It happened. I thought it was going to happen a couple of times because he was taken on the ship.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I was kind of confused that they were just.
I was a little confused about the cocoons too.
Yeah, I thought. Okay, so the first thing I thought was like, oh no, these cocoons are going to like turn them into some.
Yeah, that's
and then
what I thought.
They just like woke up and emerged, like they just broke out of them. So
in my brain, I was thinking of it as they were just being imprisoned. They were just like, okay, we need to keep you guys out of it because you guys are fighters. So I'm going to throw you over here,
right?
And then we'll deal with the tree person. Group.
Yeah.
The little tiny raccoon Rocket and the human.
Well, and I wonder if the symbiotes can only really prey on like the emotionally weak. And I, because, you know, Gamora and Drax are like pretty committed characters.
Sure.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, that's just a theory, I guess, as to why they would
sort of going back to the weak-minded thing.
Right, exactly. Right. As to why they would just imprison them rather than trying to manipulate them and use them against their friends.
Yeah, one thing I was trying to figure out is, are they, because it's like this ooze, right? It's not like, they're not individual creatures, but yet there were sort of individual creatures when they were fighting them. It's like this group of symbiotes would become this venom-looking thing and sort of do battle with them. So there was only one on the ship. Could that one take over multiple people?
I'm not sure. Well, that brings up a good point. So, so basically, we see the first one take over Drax, and Rocket just burns it away.
Right.
Which I really liked Drax being like, thank you, friend Rocket. You knew I could withstand the flames. Rocket's
I knew.
And we find out during this fight when Yondu shows up that these, that the symbiotes can not only possess people, but they can also influence, you know, like they could take over the ship kind of thing. Like they can bond to the ship in addition to bonding to actual like organic living, breathing things.
Now, do you think that, for example, do you think if they did that, because they also like, you know, blocked out the window and everything too, would they, is that ship now like one giant symbiote? I just don't know how they function. Or is it like just, we're just all over, is it like a mess? Or is it like this ship now is sort of part of the consciousness.
I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know. I would be interested to see.
I feel like it's the latter.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just trying to make these things as terrifying as humanly possible.
Sure. Well, I was actually kind of hoping that we would have this crazy symbiotic Ravager ship.
Right.
If for future episodes, but they did sort of just tie it up neatly in a bow, I guess.
That's why I wanted it to continue, because
yeah.
if you a fan of Firefly. It felt like kind of like a reverse.
Absolutely. Yes. Like the reverse.
The whole thing kind of reminded me of Firefly. Yeah. Some of the red light, the haunting, it's
literally like the reverse episode from Firefly when they're walking around the ship and trying to figure it out, and then they're actually just taking. Oh, it was just so creepy and awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy like sci-fi horror.
Me too.
And I think this episode did it extremely well. Yeah. It didn't shy away from being scary. You know, the symbiotes unto themselves are such a terrifying concept.
Right. Because they're intelligent.
I am so the thing that I am most terrified of personally is just like losing control of myself. Right. Like that's why zombies are so scary to me because it's like I would just be eating people.
Right. Or no control.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually, if any of you guys also watch the Ash vs. Evil Dead after show, you already know this because I already talked about this last night.
Well, if I can interject, I am also in the same way, but mine would be, I guess when you're a zombie, in my brain I would see it as, I mean, I would be technically gone, but it's more along the lines of, if someone took over my body, but I was still conscious, but I literally couldn't do anything, and I was watching this person use my body for terrible things, whether it was to hurt people or eat people or whatever, and I'm just sitting there like, let me out!
Right, it's even more terrifying, and that is how they work, because Drax had his memories of what happened, because he knew that they were shooting fire at him.
Yeah!
So that means that Groot knew what he was doing while he was under the influence of these symbiotes.
Yeah, but the thing is you can come back. Yes. From the symbiotes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't disintegrate.
It's really interesting.
Stop, Taylor.
Yeah, no, because I
he's
mean.
Okay. He's okay. It's
well, because I mean, that what we were talking about, you know, with Ash versus Evil Dead is that the thing is we saw, and this is very similar to why we thought we were talking about why the Deadites were so scary. It's because they, when you're possessed by the symbiotes, you clearly maintain the memories of the person that you are.
Yeah.
Like this, like you don't lose your memories just because you're a symbiote monster.
It almost seems like you're almost separate still in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like it's just like they just sort of mold around your body,
I guess,
and just use your body
exactly.
For what they want to
do. So, you know, because you still maintain those memories, it's like the symbiote can essentially, potentially use your emotional connection to the people with whom you are in conflict against them, which is just so scary.
Yeah, what I would have liked to have seen to make it even scarier is for the symbiotes to be able to sort of camouflage themselves while they're
as regular people. Yeah, that would be
like
the icing on the cake.
Sort of blend in instead of having like the tentacles behind them, to where it's like something's clearly different here.
Yep, so scary. Well,
Groot
can't
talk.
What are you doing? Stop it! You're gonna give me nightmares.
Well, and we saw too in this episode that when the symbiote had kind of started to bond to the ship, and it was the single symbiote, and so they all, like, it had the thoughts and memories of Gamora and Drax and Groot,
right,
because they were all part of it at the
right.
time.
So is that okay? So I kind of, it kind of lost me there for a second. Like all the echoing was it coming through the ship?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it was
coming
ship
through.
Monitors.
Yeah, it was like the ship learning.
Because for the first half of that, I thought that it was just in these people's heads.
No.
And I was like, wow, you guys have some demons that you need to take care of.
No, 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 no. It was totally the
same. That makes a lot more sense.
Because the ship essentially becomes alive in a way.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So Drax and Gamora were still sort of linked up to Groot walking around.
Yeah, because they were also in like the symbiote pods.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. We saw that the symbiote had, you know, sort of learned what had happened because it was quoting Rocket back to him.
Right.
Because Groot had heard it and it was bonded to Groot. So
yeah, these are terrifying. This is stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
This is awful.
A couple of cool things I wanted to grab from the chat here.
Go for it.
Michael Rafferty says that he got games instead of Gamora with autocorrect.
I love how we're finding autocorrect things.
Yep. And then he also says this takes me back to episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man and Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, okay.
Star Drew says, ooh, yeah, the cocoon of the alien movie, which we definitely saw that in this episode.
For sure.
And then this is a great question from Michael Rafferty, which DBZ King 02 already answered. I wonder what music the other Guardians like to listen to.
Well, I mean, I know that this is not canon because we're not following the movie.
Right.
Gamora was like, music, what? That whole thing. And then Drax, I don't know if his kind has some sort of music?
Well,
I feel like it would be very simplistic and honest.
But DBZ King 02 says that Drax seems like a Beethoven kind of guy.
Well, and probably Groot too, because love classical music.
Yeah, he also was all into Michael Jackson in the movie. So.
Okay,
that is true. That is true. He was all about that.
MJ. Rocket even said in the episode that Groot was a fan of his music, but Rocket was not. Remember?
When he took
his tape recorder, Groot was like, he might be a fan of your music, but I think it's quite annoying.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. What do you think? I feel like Rocket must just listen to, like, death metal or something.
It's something heavy. And, like, it's something intense.
Yes. Can you imagine just, like, running around metallic the noises. Like,
which leads me into another question from Boo, who says, why did they use the vibration of the music when they could have just hit two metal poles together to create the vibration?
It's not as cool.
It's not as cool.
I'm just kidding.
I was, I also might argue that it's not quite as powerful.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the music that Quill listens to. It's really freaking loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Bass alone.
Yeah, it's the blasted.
Yep.
I know this is a little off topic, I just bought Alien Isolation.
Oh!
And so this game is, the game, if you haven't played it, it's obviously a horror video game, a sci-fi horror
video game.
Sounds
terrifying, yeah.
Yeah.
So watching this episode, plus having literally just played this video game. Was just like, this is the worst.
you were having some serious flashbacks.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Alexis is not going to sleep tonight.
Nope. It's done. I'm just going to be hanging out.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Watching Disney movies.
That'll do it.
Yep.
I feel like that will sort of hit the refresh button on your horror senses.
I just wanted to get that out there. Yep. If anyone else feels my pain, I really want them to help me out.
So the majority of the final action of this episode, of course, takes place on board the Mulatto once the majority of the crew has been symbioted. That's a new word I just made up.
Yeah.
That's a really good word.
Yeah,
good
word. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I worked
really hard on it. Probably symbiosis
probably
again.
Still
but
symbiosis,
yeah. Quill and Rocket team up because they're basically forced to. But I loved it. Because Groot got possessed and he was coming after Quill and Rocket was right there and, you know, he kind of shot at Groot and then closed the hatch.
Yeah, I thought that Rocket was going to go down too and I was like, it's just Quill?
Yeah.
Like, no chance.
Yep.
Like, there's not a chance.
Yep.
Star-Lord cannot do this alone.
We saw what happens in 10 minutes without anybody's help. He gets captured and he's just like fighting for his life practically.
Yeah, right. Totally. So they close the hatch, but of course, you know, Rocket's like, it's not going to hold him for very long. He breaks through. And that's, you know, when he shoots him and he dissolves. And so then Rocket has to go into the storage dimension.
The void.
The storage dimension. I still want to call it a pocket dimension because I think that sounds cool.
I always write that in my notes.
Yeah, pocket dimension. Yeah. to go and retrieve the arm of Groot's that ended up in there when he had previously sucked all of the symbiotes
a heroic move.
It was, that was the thing.
I'm gonna go save my friend.
It was a really, and granted, you know, having watched the films, we all came into it being like, oh, Rocket and Groot, they're buddies. But this is the first episode for me where I've really seen Rocket do something selfless for anyone.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really nice to see him go be a hero to rescue his friend.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, he's, because I mean, even like the episode where he was using Drax to get money to like fix up the ship and everything.
Yeah.
That's cool, but it's always been sort of selfish.
Exactly, yeah. There's always,
in some way.
Yeah, it's always been, and I mean, granted, you could argue it's somewhat selfish because like he doesn't want to live his life without his friend, but it's still cute.
But it's sweet.
Yeah.
So it's okay that it's selfish because it's sweet, I think. I don't know. I think that, I think that that sort of emotional connection, like Rocket and Groot, it's almost stronger than the others that keep the Guardians together. I think it's such a fundamental part of the group that it's heartbreaking to see them play on that. We're like, Rocket's like, I can't think about it, but I'm going to have to destroy you, baby. Like, I don't know if you're going to make it through this, but I have to do it.
There was a lot more complex emotion in this episode than we had seen previously.
Yeah, my emotional roller coaster finally happened.
I do want to point out that Renji90998 in the chat says, I know the symbiotes aren't Venom, but I really wanted Groot to say, I am Venom.
That would have been awesome.
I have to admit, Renji, that would be pretty cool. Because they're basically Venom. Even though they're not Venom,
it's close. Now I want the internet to sit there and actually draw Groot wearing a Venom costume. I am Venom. And it'd be really funny.
That would make me
fake tongue. It'd be so happy. It'd be so awesome.
Yeah,
and then one as him as the hand at the end.
Yes! That's Venom. Yes! If any of you guys come across this, please tweet this at me.
Please.
I love every minute of that.
Use that hashtag. Just keep plugging the hashtag, guys.
I like it.
So he goes into the pocket dimension. That was a scary scene. It was just Rocket by himself versus all of these symbiotes.
I didn't know what was going to happen. Besides the fact of obviously they were using it to clean stuff, but I'm like, they've used it in battle before, so I'm like, what's in there?
There was a lot of stuff in there. Okay, if they're just using it to clean, like they cleaned a lot of stuff.
It was cleaning.
Places to walk around. I don't know what they were cleaning.
I'm with you guys though that I wonder if we'll go back in there and find more things.
I wouldn't mind. It's kind of cool. It's like this weird void where it's kind of scary, but it's almost like Twilight Zone-esque or something. It's just out there a little bit. Sort of, I don't know. But he is alone, and then on top of that, like Quill gets captured.
Yeah.
And now it's like he's stuck there with the symbiotes that are remaining, and he's got Groot's arm.
But oh my goodness, Quill used reverse psychology.
It's like, look at that. He can be smart.
He's growing leaps and bounds.
There was such good character growth for both Quill and Rocket in this episode.
Finally.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we saw the two of them team up in the end of this episode, and we saw, you know, Rocket be much more compassionate and selfless, and we saw Quill be a heck of a lot smarter.
Yep. Now I just want Gamora to get on that train.
I know.
She was very one-liner-ish in this episode. And I was like,
especially given that she had such a great episode last week. She had so much to do. I think that's the only reason why I didn't really mind, because I felt that this episode was really strong overall, and last week was really strong, and it was a really strong episode for her. You know, if this trend were to continue where she's underutilized, I'm going to get mad. But I didn't mind it so much.
I agree. Like last week was like, that was her episode. Mm-hmm. This was Rocket's episode with some stuff thrown in for Quill.
Yeah. But the thing that's really nice is, you know, up to this point, we have gotten some individual character episodes. Mm-hmm. But last week, you know, was a really good Gamora-centric episode, and this week was a really good Rocket episode.
Do you think that will continue?
I hope so.
Drax episode.
Because Drax is the one character for me, with the exception of the first couple episodes that were just so like fast, I couldn't even process them.
Yeah.
Drax for me has been the strongest character consistently. That, you know, they're really nailing it with his one-liners. They're super funny. He's super consistent.
He's the most consistent character.
I agree. And I would actually love to see an episode where he gets a little more to do emotionally.
Get some attention.
Some
inner turmoil of some sort.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So, So basically, Rocket he gets the arm, but he's stuck because he gets... because Quill gets captured, but Quill uses reverse psychology. So good. When Yondu was like, he's like, where's the crypto cube? And he's like, it's definitely not in the pocket dimension. Right. But it actually wasn't the pocket dimension.
You put it in the pocket dimension, did you?
Yeah. And so he opens it, and then Rocket gets released.
Gives them their distraction to get away.
Exactly. And he musically vibrates them, symbiotes away. And though, of course, we do end up with the problem of, we still have a Ravager ship full of symbiotes, which, you know, goes back to what Alexis was saying, that it would have been cool if they hadn't destroyed that ship.
Sure,
it was cool. Like, I liked the reveal that the wrench that Rocket had left there was actually a bomb. Like,
that was smart, and it also added to how intelligent Rocket was.
Absolutely, yeah.
I also am not going to trust Rocket's wrenches ever again. Like, there might be something up with that socket wrench.
I just think it's so crazy how we went from, like, oh, yeah, like, oh, this is, you know, I just use these tools, they're important to me, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, they have a bomb on every single one of them just in case if we leave it, coincidentally, at a enemy's place, and then we can blow them up.
So wait, and also, like, Yondu doesn't have a ship now.
They're in the escape pod, and they're like, we're gonna, like a Scooby-Doo episode. Yeah. Like, I guess you're next time.
You crazy kids and your little raccoon, too.
See, I love how you went to raccoon. Mine was, and your little Groot, too, because he's so tiny now.
He is. He's a tiny face and a tree arm.
So creepy.
I like the rate at which they're killing him off and bringing him back, too. You know? Like, they haven't overused the regeneration thing yet. There was one episode where he died and appeared again, and they, like, planted him. Yeah. And then now this is the second time.
Yeah.
Because that would – I just don't want it to ever become, like, an every episode thing.
I agree.
Dies at the end.
Yeah.
They, like,
I don't want him to become the new Kenny. That is
not what I want.
Yeah, I don't need Groot. Like, this episode was a really good use of the Groot dying trope.
Oh, no. It was great because it was horrifying for a second.
Right.
Like, they really got me.
Yeah, but I don't need to see that again because – you know, ultimately, I think that we all kind of know in the back of our minds that they're not going to kill him off.
You're not going
right
to kill him
now.
Right. But it's that moment of like, oh, he just died.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's
and I'm
nothing.
Like, Disney XD, if you do that to me, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
I can't handle this.
Yeah. One more comment I want to bring up from the chat just because it made me laugh. This is in regards to the pocket dimension. DBZ King 02 says, I wonder if that's what the inside of a Pokeball looks like.
Probably not, but hey, you never know.
You never know. I imagine that as just being like a sad little containment chamber. It really feels like animal cruelty, guys. Please, let your Pokemon run free.
Yeah, that's one. Two, I feel like if you look it up on the internet, somewhere on the internet, they actually have someone who actually drew out a diagram of a Pokeball, but there's like a tana couch and a TV and a little mini fridge.
That's nice.
There's like little
food. Sounds lovely.
It's really lovely. If I find it, I'm going to tweet it out.
Like,
but like, it's adorable.
It's like Genie's bottle.
Yeah, it's like Genie's bottle.
As long as like, so let's say your Pokemon trainer's running down the street, you're not sitting on your couch just going like that because you're feeling the vibrations of the Pokeball.
Right,
like,
as
long as it's like in a stasis, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's true. Like, yeah, can you imagine you're like just like a little Pikachu, like eating popcorn on your couch, but you're just like bouncing along.
Right, exactly.
That'd be the worst. And also,
So anything else you guys want to touch upon before we dive into some predictions?
I think we covered pretty much
everything.
Let's
do it. Predictions. Cue the light show. I just want to point out that because Alexis has herself on the FaceTime in the booth, so when I was like, cue the light show, Alexis's arm is like frantically reaching up to turn the light show on.
I was just trying to give you a good show.
Yeah,
guys.
It was great.
I loved it. You know, now that we're into predictions, I'm extra bummed that ship blew up because that would have been such a cool plot line.
That could come back again.
It could.
It would have been so cool if we had it just a thing.
Like a symbiotic ship just floating around the galaxy.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would have loved that. I mean, obviously, we're going to see Nebula come back at some point, and you know that's what I'm looking forward to is more with Thanos's children and the because I mean for right now though, for all anybody knows, Nebula is dead because her ship got totally bombed in the last episode. But we know that she's alive,
right? Exactly, but they don't.
Yeah, no, because technically Nebula is. It's something that she's not human, so obviously she can survive something like that. But
and now she's got the weapon too.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's I'm looking forward to seeing what plot line comes out of her having the weapon,
right?
Because she got the weapon and she wasn't immediately on the path of she wasn't really immediately on board with like the whole crypto cube path.
Right.
Obviously, that's something because you know, that is the overarching thing, the boombox map and finding the cosmic seed. But I feel like Nebula.
She's kind of got her own thing.
Exactly,
going on
because
a
she's
bit.
Like, I can finally finish what Ronan started.
Exactly.
So right. I'm curious to see where that.
Yeah,
that
I'm wondering
goes.
If that's going to come back next episode. I kind of think.
I hope
it might. It'll definitely come back around, though. I'm interested to see how she, like, whether she just tries to give it to Thanos or whether she has her own sort of stuff that she wants to deal with.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really know about it, as far as we know. He doesn't know that she has the weapon, or even that the weapons. We know that he wanted the weapon. But he knows, he thinks that the Guardians still have it, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. or that it's just lost in space. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like she's got her own agenda.
I think
I don't,
so.
I don't really think she's
loyal. I'm just super excited to see what happens. Because do you guys think that we're going to see Nebula in the next episode? Or do you think it's going to be like further
actually,
along?
According to, I think not necessarily the next episode, but within the next three, I would say. I think she'll come back.
I figured. I didn't think the next episode either. But I wanted to ask.
Though, and Renji9998 in the chat says the next episode involves Rocket meeting his family.
Finally!
Okay, cool.
I've been wanting to know where he came from.
Well, they have like a little origin. Have you seen any of the origins?
No,
shorts?
I have seen the origins. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see more stuff.
There's more. There's more, for sure.
First and last of his kind, but you don't hear him bringing that up all the time.
And that's why it's perfect for that. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what the future has to bring. The last two episodes were so good.
Really good. I'm interested to see what Yondu does.
I know.
Because he's going to be angry.
He's going to be
He's not going to
so
be happy
mad.
About that.
So mad. Yep. Yep. We're going to get more angry Yondu. We're going to get Rocket's family. We're going to get Thanos' kids. It's going to just be one big happy party time in the galaxy.
I can't wait.
So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Alexis, where can we find you on the internets?
Sorry about that. You can find me all over social media at, I'm trying to look for my lower third, at ATORS890. I'm going to be in New York starting literally in like a few hours.
Right.
So if you guys are out there and you want to meet up, I'm going to be all over the place. So just, you know, send me some tweets or something and we'll figure out a meetup. Why not?
Nice.
It'll be fun. But yeah, where are you, Taylor?
Cool. Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Taybolt. That's T-A-Y-B-O-L-D-T. And on Instagram at Taybolt, also B-O-L-D-T.
Sweet. And I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife. It's my name, E-M-M-A-F-Y-F-F-E. That is all Fs as in Fred, no Ss as in snake. They tend to sound the same on the phone or when you say them into a microphone and they're transmitted into somebody's ears. It's really interesting when other people make hotel reservations for me over the phone. Yeah, I do a bunch of shows
Sice?
Here. At,
Sice?
Yep. Oh, I've definitely shown up to a lot of Sices or like combinations of Fs and Ss. It's real fun.
Okay.
You can see me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I do Ash versus Evil Dead. I'm doing Bob's Burgers later tonight. Star Wars Rebels. Steven Universe. Follow me on Twitter. I tweet about everything I'm doing here and pretty much everything in my entire life.
And make sure you follow me and Taylor because we're doing Into the Badlands together.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
First episode
so
was
good.
Last night. It was phenomenal.
Taylor, you're awesome. I'm so glad that we have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Well,
thank you
so
much
welcome.
For having me.
Yeah,
thank
this
you
is
very much.
Super fun. Yeah, and guys, make sure that you follow AfterBuzz TV on social media. It's just at AfterBuzz TV on iTunes, on YouTube. Like, thumbs up, subscribe, all that jazz. And be sure to check out all the other shows we do here at AfterBuzzTV.com. If there's a TV show that you like, we probably have an after show for it because we have over 300 after shows these days. And also check out all the stuff on our sister networks, Black Hollywood Live, Popcorn Talk, Every Girl, and Book Circle Online. And be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place. We will be back with another episode of AfterBuzz TV's Guardians of the Galaxy. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.